Good morning. We thank you for tuning into our radio program today. This program is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Parkway Church of Christ here in Bowling Green. We hope you'll keep our service times in mind. We meet each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Bible classes. Then we have our worship services, first worship service on Sunday at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and then another one later at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. We would encourage you to come and meet with us and bring your Bible with you and follow along with us as we study from God's Word. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock for another middle-of-the-week opportunity to be able to study together, to benefit from one another's studies, to examine the Scriptures and learn more about God's Word. So keep these times in mind, and of course, if these don't accommodate you, but you would still be interested in Bible study, be sure and let us know, because we can make arrangements with you to study with you at a time and place of your choosing, something that works better for you. You can contact us by calling area code 270-842-2049. 842-2049, or go to our website, parkwaychurchofchrist.com, and you can find the email form there, and you can simply email us, and we can make arrangements that way. And this always, every time I announce this, it always reminds me also of the other option. We can study, if you're more comfortable doing it this way, we can study by means of email. And I often tell people, and I'll remind you today, that this is actually a good format. Nothing is scrolling off and disappearing. The email gives you an opportunity to keep a record of everything that was said. And that can be very important when we're studying things that we might have, might be emotionally attached subjects where we maybe let our emotions get involved. We want to try to overcome that and avoid it. However, in my history and my life of teaching the Bible and answering Bible questions, I've often seen this happen. And so what happens with a written record, a scrolling record of this information, is this keeps us on point and helps us to be able to go back and see what the other person actually said. It's conducive to study. But we would love to meet you face-to-face. Having said all of that, we would still love to meet you and study directly with you if you're interested in that. You can also contact us by sending regular mail to our postal address, which is 125 Hilltopper Avenue, Bowling Green, Kentucky 42101. This morning I want to do a little bit of reflection, a little bit of Bible study. Back a few weeks ago, I had read a news item about the popularity of satanic clubs being on the rise, and after school clubs where school children, basically, young adults, would meet together in their Satan club, and nothing was said about any particular rituals. I've noticed that as time has progressed, that Satanism has pretty much separated itself from the old days of cutting off of goat heads and things like that, and mutilating other types of animals, because people just don't have a stomach for that. And so I think that was one little peculiarity. Maybe it was intriguing from the standpoint of the members they had then, but it seems like that's kind of gone away. However, the concept of exalting Satan has not. And I might point out to some of you out there in the audience who may be thinking that, you know, wow, what an amazing thing for people to actually glorify Satan, to honor Satan, and then worship Satan. But it shouldn't come as much of a surprise, because the Bible actually tells us that all sinners, all of those who either have failed or refused to acknowledge Christ and obey Him, to meet the conditions of divine conditions of grace and salvation, are actually under the control of Satan. They lie under the control of the wicked one. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. And so, or verse 19 rather. Verse 19. We know, John said, that we are of God, and the whole world lies under wickedness. or as one translation puts it, under the control of the wicked one. And Jesus told Jews in John 8 in verse 44, he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." So everyone doing the things that are characteristic of the devil, of his attitude towards God, of his practices that he endorses, that he encourages people to engage in, they are actually the children of Satan. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that people would just go ahead and openly acknowledge Satan as their father and worship him. Now, what I want to do today, though, and there's another reason why I'm doing this program. I think maybe I was spurred on. I told one brother at Parkway, the Grammy Awards last week, which I did not watch, but there were certain things that happened there that made the news. And so if you keep up with current events, this was one of the things that came out of that award ceremony. It all involved a man named Sam Smith. I am not familiar with him, was not familiar with him other than some little news pieces that I had seen. I do not follow his music or anything. But in the past, I had heard about him only in the context of Satan and some questions about Satan worship or demonism and some of that. And so this came up again because of his performance, which was basically a satanic type ritual, a Satan worship program that he put on that they performed at the Grammys. And so this brought this back to my mind, and it made me start thinking, and I think we need to all do this. It made me start thinking about the question, do people really want what they think they want? If they want to be worshipers of Satan, if they want to be in the service of Satan, do they really understand what they are wanting, what they're talking about, what they're going to get? Now, that's another thing we need to ask ourselves. What will this do for us? Where will this end? And we're going to answer that question by simply going to the Scriptures and showing what Satan is and who Satan is. You're first introduced to Satan in Genesis chapter 3. I always like to tell people and remind people, case may be, if you're already a Bible student, you would know this, but the Bible closes together very quickly. If you start in Genesis and you get past the creation events of chapters 1 and 2, and then you get into chapter 3, and that's where you begin to read about the devil, who, of course, operated from the serpent's body. And that's why, I was about to say, the Bible really starts to look like a smaller book if you jump from Genesis 3 to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12 uses all those different terms for the devil, Satan, that old serpent, the deceiver, and I believe verse 9 of Revelation chapter 12. And so if you go back to Genesis 3, you can understand why all that terminology was used. The adversary of man, but also the deceiver. And I want us to think about Genesis 3 first. Because in Genesis 3, we're first introduced to Satan, a person. A person who was able, where we read in the book of Job in chapters 1 and 2, to be able to appear with the sons of God, the angels, before God, and basically discuss things with God about his servant Job, and to make claims about Job, and to make accusations against Job. That's what Satan really is. So that's the accuser of our brethren. And so we put together a picture of what the devil is. But I'm not going to focus so much on that today. I want to focus upon the actions of Satan. Would it really be a great world, a great society, a great community, great environment for people in which people could live and be productive if everyone modeled themselves after Satan and what he did in Genesis chapter 3? And what did he do? Well, he deceived Eve. He deceived Eve. Here again we see commonality between this chapter and the New Testament, because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul at the end of that chapter will talk about women and the role of women and what Satan did to the first woman. He deceived her. He said Eve was in the deception. He deceived her, and how so? Well, you remember that God had placed certain stipulations on the food that the humans were able to eat, man and woman, that is, at that time, only Adam and Eve. And he had told them about the fruit trees in the garden, but he said, there is an exception. You may not eat of the fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he told them, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Do not eat the fruit of that tree. We sometimes call it the forbidden tree. That's right. Do not eat that. In the day that you do, you will surely die. And so, how did the devil deceive Eve? Well, he said, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. And he caused Eve to look at the tree in a different way. You see that in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3. He made his arguments, and she saw that the tree was pleasant to the eye and good for food and desired to make one wise. And we see all of those three areas of temptation: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:16. Again, the Bible ties together perfectly, Old and New Testaments. So, what happened? Well, he changed her mind. He changed the way she thought about the fruit of the forbidden tree. He did that by using words, arguments. He made arguments. They were simple arguments, but they were effective. They were effective enough for Eve to be, as Paul said, deceived. So the first thing we ought to consider is a world in which people constantly deceive each other and lie to one another. Lying and deception need to be considered together, and keep in mind that in John 8, in verse 44, Jesus told the Jews, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He then goes on to describe him as a liar and the father of lies. And it basically lies originated with the devil, is his argument there. And so if you are a son of the devil, this is your behavior. This will characterize your behavior. And what did he say? Lying. Well, deception is a type of lying. The devil lied to Eve about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, we know the consequences. Adam and Eve lost their fellowship with God, their closeness with God. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. You remember, before you even finish Genesis chapter 3, you see them banished from the Garden of Eden. Also, you see punishments placed upon them and their posterity. That is, all women and all men. Because Adam also was tempted. And by the way, friends, you know, the devil is very deceptive. The devil worked one way with Eve. He worked directly with her. He approached her directly. He made his appeal directly to her. He made arguments about the fruit of the tree. And that made Eve reconsider the fruit of the tree and its value, and whether or not she was willing to go ahead and eat of it. Okay, now that's how he did it with her. Keep in mind, those of you familiar with the story, it says she gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And both of them sinned. You know how the devil worked on the man? Through a woman. God told Adam later, because you did this thing, you listened to your wife. And guys, it's good to listen to your wife, but not always. We have a higher standard. What if my wife suggests to me to go rob a bank or something? Well, I don't need to listen to her then. And Adam listened to his wife when he should not have. But what made that so tempting? Because he wanted to be at peace with his wife. He wanted to please his wife. He wanted to do what she did. and make her happy. And sometimes this goes too far in relationships, and it can work both ways, men to women and women to men. There is a higher standard than your spouse. It's kind of like Ephesians chapter 6, and we remind children that actually Paul told children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1, why did he say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? Paul didn't say, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Because what if parents told children, and I've seen this many times before, to do things or say things that are sinful and wrong? Are children to obey their parents on those occasions? No, they are not. They are not. Obey your parents in the Lord. If your parents are encouraging you, trying to get you to steal something at a store, don't do that. And a child might say, well, I'm supposed to obey my parent. Not when they are not following the Lord's instructions. And that phrase, in the Lord, means according as he has authorized, according as the Lord has authorized. So, in other words, obey your parents when you're authorized to do so. Do not obey your parents when you're violating the will of God in so doing. So, the same principle back in Genesis chapter 3. Do we really want a society like that, that's literally filled with deceivers and liars? How would you function? How would a society like that function? Friends, I wouldn't want to put a day length on this. I will say days and not months. That system would entirely implode almost immediately. You wouldn't be able to trust anyone that you're doing business with. You wouldn't be able to trust the sales clerk at a store. You wouldn't be able to trust anyone with anything if that's where this goes. So Satan worship and honoring Satan is honoring deception. But also something else. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. And we think of Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. What was it that motivated Cain? How did he come up with the idea of killing, of murdering his brother? Well, we don't have to speculate about that because John, in 1 John chapter 3, when he's making another point, makes several points about loving our brethren. We should love one another. In verse 12, he said, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. He was of that wicked one. Where did we see the expression wicked one earlier? In the study, just two chapters away from here, 1 John 5 and verse 19, that the whole world lies under the control of the wicked one. Cain was motivated by the wicked one, by Satan, and he slew his brother. And how did Satan work through Cain so that Abel ends up being struck and killed? How did he do that? Well, he was jealous. He was jealous of Abel's approval. And they may seem like small things to a Satan worshiper, but see where it ends up? It ends up with murder. And this happens quite a bit. Jealousy results in murder in many cases. We see this in spousal domestic cases and in killings, murders that are committed by a spouse. It's often motivated by jealousy. So if you're honoring Satan, who is the author of this evil mentality, God, you see, in each of these areas, we could double the lesson. I wouldn't have time to finish it, but if we were to make the point or had time to make the point, we could show that in each of these areas, God says the exact opposite. For example, when it comes to lying and deceiving others. The New Testament is literally filled with warnings about lying. We are commanded to not lie to one another. For example, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 says, all liars shall be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ananias and Sapphira were set forth as an example of disobedience in the local church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And what sin did they commit? They lied. We're told they lied. Ananias lied, and then his wife Sapphira came along later in the interview with Peter and corroborated the lie that her husband had told, and she also fell down dead. They were instantly killed by God because of lying. So you see the difference? Telling the truth works better. Societies can stay glued together and function easier, better, more profitably, more productively when people tell the truth. We could do that with every one of these. What about murder? Well, this is where it gets pretty obvious to me. Satan worshipers may not connect these dots, and they may not want to, but murder is because of the devil. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. Murder is what happens when people become convinced that the devil is the high power that they are supposed to be serving and not God. Murder will happen every time. In fact, there's actually a logical reason for this. If you were to take all of a sudden, you take a bunch of people who are devout people who, at least to one degree or another, you know, some may be very religious, may attend worship services regularly, may read and study their Bibles. It may be that no passage that I have mentioned this morning has been a surprise to you if you're one of those people, that you're just intimately familiar with these principles. What if all of a sudden the Satanist won the argument? They say, oh, no. God and Christ, they're not the supreme right authority. They're not sovereign. But we should be worshiping the devil. What if those people became very evangelistic and very successful in propagating and convicting people that they're right? And they win the world over to service to Satan. How's that going to end? I'm going to tell you what. And this is logically follows. Absolute, not just chaos, not just taking what belongs to other people, not just absolute disastrous levels of theft of property. And you'll do that because Satan, of course, has no respect for other people. It's not like Satan is concerned about those things, but rather these theft is attributed to the devil. So not only would you have that, but you would have, as Jesus said, murder. You would have murder. And it logically follows because wouldn't that be the rationale of a person who's convinced that the devil is his father? What has the devil convinced people to do over the years? Murder people. Started with Cain, and then you follow human history and you just see an endless chain of that type of behavior. And it happens literally constantly throughout our country and throughout the world. Just look at the news every once in a while. You'll see this. The murders that are reported. And like I said, it makes sense because if you convince someone, now here's someone who's been sure, they've been convinced that murder is wrong. Murder is of the devil. Murder is a practice of Satan. But someone convinces him that Satan is Lord, then he'll be convinced that murder's not wrong. Why not then just go ahead and kill someone in order to take the things that they have? Why not just go ahead as Cain did and kill someone in order to eliminate this person from being your judge as far as morals are concerned, as far as worship standard is concerned? God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but he was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice. It wouldn't take much. It didn't take much in Cain's case, did it? He was just jealous. Jealous of Abel's acceptance with God. And it turned him into a cold-blooded murderer. And this story, if we were to publish this in a newspaper today, you know, change the names. It plays itself out constantly. As I said earlier, jealousy is the motivation for a lot of murders. And so this wouldn't be a shock to us if we were to read of a story like this, just substitute other names for Cain and Abel. And some other reason for the jealousy than one's worship was accepted and the other's was not. Just do a little substituting and you'll see what I'm talking about. Because it happens all of the time. So what do we learn here? Well, we learn that Satan is a deceiver, a liar. We learn that he's a murderer from the beginning. We have warnings in the Bible that when people are living securely, peacefully, that when the devil gets involved in it, things begin to change. Peter said, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 5, that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Destruction. That's because of why? Because of him taking advantage of other people. Taking advantage of other people's weakness, taking advantage of other people's plight or situation. For example, the next verse, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, persecutions, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Who's behind all of the punishment of those who try to do what's right? Who's behind the persecutions of saints? Peter said the devil is. The devil's behind that. The book of Revelation, though it does talk about some entities there, government people, civil leaders are discussed in the book of Revelation. Ultimately, the one behind all of the evil is identified as Satan. And he'll eventually be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. He is right now restrained from being able to do things that we cannot resist. The devil, we're told in James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Peter said this, the first part of that we just read in 1 Peter 5, 7, but James amended that a little bit. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why would we want to resist the devil? You have these Satan worshipers encouraging people to worship Satan, to serve Satan. Well, if they do, they're going to end up with this disastrous environment, social environment. It will implode. If you think the murder rate is bad in some of the places right now, particularly some major cities in our country and different places throughout the world, just wait and see what happens when all moral restraint has been taken from people, been removed as a result of indoctrination. And this is what's happening to many of our young people today in certain parts of the country who are involving themselves in these Satan clubs, these satanic clubs, and learning these principles. It's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. You're going to have trouble with just general crudeness, where people are disrespectful of other people, to mistreatment, to criminality, and all the way to murder. There's just simply no question about it. In the Bible, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, from the beginning where you read about Satan as the serpent back there, that old serpent, as John called him, in Revelation 12, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation where Satan is punished because of what happened to God's people, you see nothing but destruction. So I think people need to wake up a little bit instead of glorifying the devil and thinking in terms of, you know, oh, this fascination with Satan worship. Maybe they need to think about what it really represents and what really happens as a result of it. Because if they do, they might not want to live in a world where those are the governing principles and the general mentality of the people. Our time is up this morning. We thank you for tuning in to our program. Hope you'll do so next week for another study. Until our next study, we bid you a pleasant good day.